All this month, we'll be empowering men just like last month we empowered women. So stay tuned right there for the Parker J. Cole Show. Hi, and welcome to this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show right here on WPJC 104.5. I'm so glad you're able to join me today. Today we're going to be empowering men all this month, not just today, but all this month we'll be empowering men in different areas of men's life pertaining to a male perspective. You know, last month we focused on the women. This month we'll be focusing on the men. And today's topic, we'll be talking about empowering men to be disciples. I wanted to make it clear before the show and before we get into our topic is that we're not making one gender more responsible for discipleship than the other. But like I said, since it's Men's Empowerment Month this month on the Parker J. Cole Show, I just want to keep it from a man's perspective all month. So definitely stay tuned every Saturday at 2 o'clock p.m. right here on WPJC for the Parker J. Cole Show. Last week, I'm so excited to tell you, we had a debut show of the first show under the PJC Media brand. That was Dovetails with Deborah Lassiter. If you missed the show, you missed a wonderful opportunity. It was a wonderful show, and we had a great testimony from Deborah's guest, Robbie Newborn, who has come from a life of triumph, from a life of tragedy to triumph, and from victim to victorious. If you missed that show, don't worry. Simply go to blogtalk.com/PJC Media, and you can listen to it again. You'll be so blessed by Deborah's show. Don't forget to join her Sunday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC. She'll be talking to a wonderful gospel singer, and also there are random acts of kindness you can possibly get by listening to her show. So keep it right here on PJC Media Network with great quality programming and shows. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we will be empowering men to be disciples. Stay tuned right there.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walk It Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional, so if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walk It Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
Has God called you to be a pastor or leader, but the men and women in your church won't let you speak because you're a female? Is the call to minister strong on your life, but you hesitate because you think the Bible tells women to be silent in the church? I'm Jory Micah, and I am here to tell you, sister, that together we can break the glass steeple. I fight and advocate for gender equality in the church, and there are others with me who are holding up the banner. Subscribe to my blog at jorymicah.com. for interviews, commentary, and uplifting words to give you the motivation to answer the call to ministry. Together, we can break the glass steeple and inspire all of God's children, men and women alike, to answer the call to ministry.
And we are back, and you are listening to the Parker J. Cole Show right here on WPJC 104.5. I'm your host, Parker J. I'm so glad you're here with me today. Like I said before the break, we'll be talking about empowering men all month, and today we'll be talking about empowering men to be disciples. I think this is a very important topic, as a lot of notions about gender roles and about how men are supposed to act have been changing or are in a state of flux, and then we want to get back to a biblical principle about what it means to be disciples for Christ. And we are not talking about men doing certain things that have been regulated to women, but we're talking about being disciples for Christ. We're going to be empowering men to do that today. And with me to talk about that is my wonderful guest, co-host, and contributor today, Brad Francis. Brad, how are you doing today?
Hey, Parker, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, and thanks so much for taking time to be with us on the show today. Love having you on the show, and I'm always looking forward to your insights. So thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's always a privilege, always eager for the opportunity.
Tell us a little about yourself for those who may be hearing you for the first time.
Okay. Well, I'm an author, and I currently have four books out. I used to consider myself a author of Christian fiction, and that's really where I'd like to say in my wheelhouse. But after I wrote my third book, The Savvy Demon's Guide to Godly Living, there was just there were so many principles, and I'm a big fan of teaching through fiction, but there were just so many principles about discipleship that were so prevalent that I said, well, I need to address these more head on. So I came out with a book about making disciples called Go Make Disciples, How Jesus Did It, How We Can Do It. And that's my most recent book at this point, my first and only, if God's okay with this, only nonfiction. We'll see how that goes. And yeah, I've just been so focused on looking at how Jesus made disciples and how we can follow him specifically in personal discipleship today. Back with the disciples, we were told that they turned their world upside down, the people that Jesus had discipled. And man, we could use that today.
Brad, I like how you said that, because we do need to make disciples. And I want people to kind of know what we mean by disciples. So tell us in your own words, what do we mean when we say disciples?
I mean, disciple just means follower. And back in Jesus's day, it actually wasn't a rare occurrence at all. He wasn't the only rabbi to have disciples. In fact, it was fairly common. People would kind of glom on to a particular rabbi, and they might even travel with him and almost like interns studying at his feet, like the disciples, like the 12 men that we usually know as the disciples. So all it really means today when we say it is a Christ follower, but I'm focusing, you know, on Christ followers who are actively making disciples. That is, who are taking the call of Jesus from the Great Commission seriously when he said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I've commanded you. And really, that's what it is, teaching them to do everything I've commanded you. If you've been a follower of Jesus Christ for any length of time, you've kind of, there's so much that you've either discovered on your own as you've grown, or you haven't because you've been stagnant. So making disciples is just, it's about, it's like when what Paul has said a couple of times when he said, follow me as I follow Christ, or imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that's really what it's about. It's about saying, you know, living life together and saying, this is how we can follow Christ together. This is what ministry looks like. These are the guidelines. These are the tips that I've learned when I've been ministering. When a storm comes into my life, this is how I have learned to go to my knees and go to Scripture and really rely on God instead of relying on my own power. All these things that as we mature in Christ, we learn how to do, we were designed to pass those on in a direct, intimate relationship with other believers and show them how to grow in their faith. Demonstrate that and do it with them. And that's what Jesus did. It's what the early church did. And it's something that we've really gotten away from in our modern culture today. Some people that I talk to, some people who give me feedback on discipleship after they read my book, some readers, they maybe had one relationship like that in their lives. Maybe a college advisor or a pastor or a spouse, but the vast majority of people I've talked to have never had anyone who's done that for them. So when we talk about disciples, we're talking about disciples who make disciples, who say, I'm following Christ, join me.
One thing that I like about what you said is that when we make disciples, it's something meant to be passed on. And like you said, the early disciples, the 12 apostles that Christ used, they turned the world upside down. Like you said, they didn't just remain stagnant. They became a huge influence in our world today. And so a lot of people are looking, particularly here in the West, because we tend to, for some reason, associate Christianity with only the West, which has very bad connotations with it, and it kind of got me to thinking about that. But particularly in the West, we kind of fall back on our Christian heritage, kind of like a cult that we have. Well, this is my cult. This is, you know, I'm a cultural Christian, some people would say. I grew up in a Christian culture, and I don't necessarily adhere to that. Do you think those type of thoughts have to do with the lack of discipleship in our churches today?
Yeah, I think so. I think when we look at a casual Christian culture, that's it's based on consumerism. It's based on taking in instead of based on serving, which I think is the model that Jesus and the early church provided for us. And I think that the lack of discipleship is to blame for that, because we need, I mean, if you look at right before Jesus died, and, you know, his examples were getting more and more poignant as we look at, like, the Last Supper. And what did he do when they all got together on that event? He stripped down to his undergarments. He got his knees, and he washed their feet. He served them. And now, you know, we're more used today for the leaders of our churches to be, standing on a platform instead of being, you know, physically below us like Jesus was, and this is a metaphor, I understand. But instead of, you know, him being on his knees washing their feet, you know, we look at our leaders to be on a stage or on a platform, and maybe that has its place on Sunday morning, but we also need to see the feet washing side of things, the service side of things, because if we don't, and we need to be instilling that in each other. And there are wonderful people who just have servant's hearts. I'm sure you know some in your life, and I know I do, and it's wonderful. And you look at those people, and they're so mature in their faith, and it's great. And that's not something we can just keep to ourselves. It's something that we need to strive for, and it's something that we need to guide other people toward, so that when someone comes into the faith or someone joins a church, we need to send, I think, out the message that following Christ is not about getting your butt in this pew or this seat every Sunday. It's not about, you know, attending a small group Bible study or Sunday school classes or listening to Christian radio or reading Christian books. I mean, all those things can be part of it, but serving others, ministering, sharing the gospel, making disciples, that's the heart of Christianity. But I feel like a lot of people in the Western world, especially, if you ask them what's the, you know, the number one Christian activity, they would say something like going to church. And it's important to worship together, but at the same time, it's also very easy to just go to church and just consume. And what does that do for our world? You know, just sitting and reading and trying to better ourselves, or even worse, thinking that we're doing God a favor by you know, like out of obligation, as if it benefits him in some way for us to be somewhere Sunday morning, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if that's all we're doing, then we're not getting out into the community. We're not serving. And, you know, how are we going to turn our world upside down? I think that sort of mentality is what led to our world being here today. And the thing about disciple making, imagine, Parker, if you joined a church and they say, hey, you know, we're so glad to have you here at our church. This is what is... this is what you're going to be faced to if you want to join our church. Someone who has been a member and who has been following Christ for a little bit longer than you is going to help you. They're going to call you. They're going to spend some time with you. And they're going to see where you're at in your faith. And they're going to help you get where you need to be. Mm-hmm. They're going to... you know, do you have a hard time sharing your faith? Many of us are terrified of sharing our faith for some reason.
Yeah.
So they're going to say, you know what? I'm going to show you what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some role playing. And the next time that I have an opportunity to share my faith with somebody, I want you there. You're not going to say anything, maybe, but just be there. Be part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch, do ministry with me, you know? And
that's
a good point, Brad. Oh, I was just saying, I think that could make all the difference. I really do. It did in Jesus' day, and it could today.
That's a good point to make, Brad, because there comes a maturity, having that mature Christian with you that can help you. Because, like you said, a lot of people are scared of sharing their faith. I think it has a lot to do with the lack of discipleship and also has to do with our current cultural trend, especially here in America, where things are in the flux. We're getting past a postmodern Christian society to a society of more relativity, and that's your truth, not my truth. Don't legislate morality. I don't know what other idioms there are out there. So a lot of that has to do with people not wanting to say anything. They figure, which isn't wrong, they figure I can share Christ about with my life. But like you said, discipleship is a movement. It is an activity. It is not something that you remain passive about. And as we talk about that, we'll be taking more of your questions and comments. And you feel free to call in. You can call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or if you hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. When we come back from the break, I'm going to ask Brad a question and read some of your responses to that question. So stay tuned right here. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Listen to our internet radio station at touchofgodradio.org, where you will find out your true identity in Christ. You can use the light that is within you to replace the darkness in this world. Go into all the world today with touchofgodradio.org.
Hi, is your book club in need of some fresh and exciting questions to ask club members and authors at your next book club meeting? Literizations, the book conversation game, is 70 thought-provoking questions to really get into an in-depth discussion about the books you and your club members are reading. These questions really get into the characters, the storyline, and into the author's head. These questions may just give you and your book club members a whole new way to get into a new conversation, a literization. Literizations is also a great set of tools for bloggers, interviewers, and authors to use a discussion question. Are you ready to get lit? Please visit our website at litversations.com, LITVERSATION.com. And please like our Facebook page at Simply Said Reading Accessories. Thank you.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show right here on WPJC 104.5. We're having a wonderful discussion about empowering men to be disciples as we focus on men's empowerment this month on the Parker J. Cole Show. You can always weigh in on our topic by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. Before the break, we were talking about empowerment, what discipleship is, and how discipleship is supposed to be an active thing that we do as followers of Christ and not a passive thing. Now, one thing that Brad mentioned before the break, he said there is a kind of a casual Christian culture that we are experiencing here, particularly in the West, and how it affects our, probably why we're in the situation we're in right now. And so what he is urging all of us to do as followers of Christ is to become disciples and to take our discipleship, what we call it, and pass it on to someone else. It's not meant to be walled in and safe and secure like a soft blanket. It's an active movement of sharing what it means to be a follower of Christ and affecting not just yourself but the world around you. And Brad, once again, thanks for joining us on the show and helping us to really unpack this, the topic about discipleship. I had sent out a question, Brad, and basically the question I sent out was, are churches trying to make people disciples of Christ or members of the congregation? So I want to get a couple of thoughts. And Jeremy from Dothan, Alabama, says, I think in general there's very little emphasis on discipleship. I love to be able to blame it on the big church culture, but the problem in the modern American church persists down to the individual level. Churches aren't discipling because people aren't looking to be discipled. They love hearing about what God has done for them, but kind of turn a deaf ear to what God expects of them. That's not to say discipleship isn't taking place, of course. The church has more Bible studies and prayer groups than you can shake a stick at. When it comes to the instruction and accountability that is so necessary for growing a new Christian living in a pervasively sinful world, the church does tend to come up short. Jeremy, thank you so much for your comment. How would you respond to that? Do you agree with what he's saying, Brad? What would you make any caveats to?
Yeah, I definitely see where he's coming from. Although it seems to me that it's sort of a chicken or the egg conversation. You know, how long have we lived in a mainstream church culture in which personal discipleship, let me differentiate that from education. The church educates. The church, I mean, that's what it seeks to do. It educates through sermons, through, you know, Bible studies, through classes and courses and so much. That's one area where the church really puts their focus. But I would argue, for the research that I did for my book, Go Make Disciples, I identified five different ways in which Jesus made disciples, and education, while important, was only one of those five methods. So while the church is attempting to disciple, which, I mean, when you're talking about large group discipleship, which I don't think Jesus ever, when he used that word, when he said, go make disciples, I don't think that he was talking about lectures. He did his share of teaching with that, but look at how he primarily taught the 12. It was through real life examples. It was through teaching through situations that they would come across more often than not. And we just can't do that en masse. And that's what we're trying to do. And it's what we've been trying to do for so long, that instead of facilitating discipleship as perhaps the main activity of the church, we look at a pastor and we often say his main job in the church is to preach a sermon on Sundays, and so we focus on that one-sided aspect of discipleship, education, and so the other aspects of discipleship have been neglected for so long, at least, you know, in large part, simply because it's not something you can do with 100 people or 300 people or 3,000 people or, heck, 50 people in a room for an hour on Sunday mornings. We've been living with that for so long that now if we take a look at it and say that people don't want to be discipled, I think what we really need is a massive paradigm shift. This would be huge. But people, I don't think the average church attendee understands what it means to be discipled, because statistically, no one has ever done that to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas the early disciples, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, they knew exactly what it meant because he'd spent three and a half years doing that to them. And so we say people, the person who wrote in says that that people aren't interested in being discipled. And I'm sure that's the case for some people, but I feel like for a lot of people, it's just so different from the church culture that we've lived in for so long now that they don't even know how to react to it if someone were to try it. It would take a lot of hard work to get us to that point. And it would, and there'd be a lot of people who would push back against it because it's not what they think of. It's not what they expect when it comes to church. But if we persisted and if people were seeing the growth in their life and if the Holy Spirit had that opportunity to use personal discipleship to help draw people closer to Him, I think we would see attitudes change. I really do.
I like how you say that, Brad, because there is a paradigm shift needed. A lot of people do have the thought that church is about worship and coming to church and doing that. Think that's your Christian duty, and that can kind of get in the way of what discipleship is. So they may think discipleship is more of a passive thing, and that's what you're pointing out to us, that it's not passive. And I can imagine, like, if you have someone, I'll just use a radical example, Brad, for the sake of example. Let's say you have someone who was a former drug addict coming into the church, and, you know, he's accepted Christ as his Savior. He truly believes, but there are still parts of his old life that hang to him. And what can happen for, let's say, that drug addict is that he doesn't have someone to disciple and be with him to help him through that process, or someone who's an alcoholic. I'm just using radical examples, not that we need those examples, but just an example so we can follow along, illustrate, and then having someone there to help them, like, oh, I'm having the craving to drink something, or I want to go back to that old lifestyle, something like that. And sometimes some of these people can slip through the cracks in church because of the fact that there isn't a discipleship. Am I saying it right, Brad? You want to correct what I'm saying? Go ahead and let us know.
No, that sounds great. And your examples actually made me think, how do organizations like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous work? Is that they work by pairing people up with sponsors. Mm-hmm. They don't put all that, and we often do, even if we don't intend to. We often say, you know, we've got a you know, full-time pastor, we're paying him with our tithes every month, and we're kind of paying him to do ministry in our church. But groups like AA aren't even naive enough to think that whoever's leading the session every week is going to be able to respond if one of the members has a crisis where he's just, you know, struggling, you know, not to relapse. So they have sponsors, which sounds, you know, they're a lot like what at least they provide a sort of a microcosm example of what we're looking at when we're talking about someone who's going to be making disciples. I don't know so much about that. I don't know how many people a sponsor is actually responsible for. And my wife's in the background. She's researched this for school. She says it's just one person apiece.
Okay.
And that seems so manageable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
you know,
it does.
Jerry, if you have a problem, if you're starting, you know, you've had a really rough day at work and you're struggling and you're driving by, you know, your old favorite bar on the way home, call Mike. And
yeah.
Mike is going to answer your call if there's any way he can, because Mike knows this is important. And Mike has kind of committed himself to that and only responsible for one person. And I think that's just fine. I don't know what we'd have to look at, you know, the number of active disciples that I could be investing in at any time and the number of active disciples that you could be investing in, Parker. I mean, that may be a different number, and that's just fine because we're different mm-hmm. people and we have different strengths and stuff like that. I mean, the Son of God only did 12 at a time, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's God himself. And,
yeah.
You know, that doesn't, you know, whereas we're trying to, you know, I mean, that's smaller than some of the smallest churches you can probably, probably name, except for possibly house churches. A lot of house churches have more people than 12. And, hey, one of those didn't even turn out very well, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, too, Brad, that you mentioned that, because when you look at it, as I listen to how you're talking about, when you look at it, Jesus pours himself into his disciples, you know, and it is a sacrifice to be a disciple. There is to give up all your energy and pour it into these men, because these men eventually would do something wonderful, which would let the knowledge of God, the love, be passed down through the ages. You know, we're still talking about them. We're still doing this. And it's just something that resonates within me when we think about it. Like, Jesus pours himself into making people disciples. He pours himself into them, even when they didn't understand what he was saying. Because the Bible talks about that a lot, how they were just ignorant of the truth he was talking about, but he didn't knock them out the bandwagon because of that. And it brings me to my next question here is about, what happens when you're trying, let's go from the other end of, you know, how the church can be more discipleship focused to those churches who are, and let's go to the disciples themselves, like us, me, you, anyone else listening in our audience today. Let's talk about us real quickly. What if we have someone there? How is being a good disciple? Okay, let me back up. I think there's a difference between someone discipling you and someone telling you what to do. You know what I mean? So what are some good characteristics of being a disciple when you're trying to pass on the maturity of your faith to someone else? What are some good things to do, some things to avoid, things of that nature?
Okay, well, and that's actually one of the things that my book is about. It's really a how-to about how to make disciples. Well, how Jesus did it, how we can do it. Some of the pitfalls I think that we can get on into is it can almost be difficult to walk a line as far as how many struggles to reveal versus how much not to reveal. What I mean is, I'm not saying that well, but, I want to open up to someone I'm discipling with what I'm struggling with, because they need to see how imperfect I am, how I'm not better than them, how I'm not holier than them, because Satan loves to get in there and attack with that. He loves to say, oh, you know why you're not being effective like Sam is? It's because Sam's holier than you. You know, you're a mess, and he's not. Mm-hmm. And so we need to open up to the point where we can say we're all a mess. And this is how I'm dealing with it when lust starts to creep into my heart, and be able to we have to be able to open up to some extent, because following Christ is in part about dealing with sin in our lives and dealing with temptation in our lives. We have to be able to do that, but at the same time, we have to not open up to the extent that, you know, two guys are getting together and focusing so much on the darkness that they're forgoing the light, if that makes sense. You know, wallowing in it. That's one pitfall. Another would be to, we've already talked about, trying to overcommit ourselves. Discipleship, personal discipleship, is time consuming. I mean, like you mentioned, Jesus poured his life into them. I mean, that was like all the time. No matter what Jesus was doing, he was also making disciples constantly. Our lives are so different from his. So we need to, we need to do is find ways to commit making this, to include making disciples in our lives. One of the things, my wife and I, used to, we when we were first, you know, just becoming so convicted at the need for personal discipleship, what we tried to do was have a small discipleship group at my dad's church in Michigan. And we had teens and young adults in that. And it wasn't rare, and now this probably wouldn't necessarily translate to adults, but it wasn't rare for us to take one of these young people with us to the grocery store, which seems like such, you know, so mundane, and it is. And, you know, why would anyone want to go to the grocery store except for, I remember when I was a teenager doing some, so, you know, little errands like that with my youth pastor and being glad for the opportunity because they were so glad to have someone interested in them and invest with them that just, you know, it can be fun to spend an hour at the grocery store when you're in that kind of relationship. And we went out of our way in those instances to make sure that we were trying to provide the example that we needed to, the example that that person needed. So finding ways to incorporate discipleship into our busy schedules instead of trying to make them compete, I think is so important. You know, if you like to watch a baseball game, I guess I'll say, since we just started to got into opening day around now.
Yeah.
Season just started. Then, you know, invite your disciple over. And I say your disciple, they're both, you know, you guys are both disciples of Christ, of course. But invite them over to watch it with you. And all of a sudden, you're still watching the game, you're still invested, but you're spending time together and you're building that relationship, and it's a discipleship opportunity. And quite frankly, baseball is kind of boring. It could probably use the help there.
You know, I've only watched baseball on television a couple of times. I've only went to one game a couple of times, you know, being near Tiger Stadium. I watched it a couple of times. It's not the most invigorating sport on the planet, but I totally understand exactly where you're coming from, especially about incorporating discipleship into our busy schedules, because a lot of people say, well, I'm too busy to go out and do this. But, you know, if you have, let's say, I'm just using an example, since we're empowering men, and we'll be talking about that on the other side of the break, but empowering men for yourself, Brad, you can have like a young man come with you and help build a doghouse or something, you know, and you're sitting there and you can talk about how Jesus was a carpenter, or you can just talk about just the very thing that you're doing, what you're doing. You're pouring into a young man, let's say, who has had problems, you know, juvenile problems, come from a family where he can't get good counsel. And then you come along and just help him, and he helps you build a doghouse. And that's also discipling too, even though you're both followers of Christ, but having that something to fall back on, like creating something, you could bring in how the Lord was a carpenter and how he did these things. Just small little things to incorporate that personal discipleship. And that's really profound what we're talking about here on the show today. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you can simply call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or you can hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. And when we come back, more about empowering men to be disciples right here on WPJC 104.5.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SoarMag.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SoarMag Digital, check us out on SoarMag.com or contact us at SoarMag@Yahoo.com. SoarMag Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show right here on WPJC 104.5. We are talking about empowering men to be disciples with my guest co-host, author and teacher, Brad Francis. He is the author of several books about discipleship, he's the author of several books, but his newest release called Go and Make Disciples is about discipleship, and it just came out recently. It was very apt, Brad, that the book came out right around Easter, and I just love how you juxtapose that with Easter and going making disciples and just the promise of what that means. So I'm really glad you're here with us. You know, the last time you were on the show, you talked about Tears in Heaven. Well, the show is called Tears in Heaven. We talked about just what God calls us to do, and it was a wonderful book. Like I said, very life-changing for those who read it because it puts you in the frame of mind of what God has called us to do. And part of that has to do with discipleship. So, Brad, as we talk about discipleship, well, again, I want to thank you for being with us on the show and helping us to get a grasp on what discipleship is. And I was thinking about that on the other side of the break as you were discussing this, because it's so important for Christians to not just be pew warmers. As my mother used to say, be part of PWA Association, which is Pew Warmers Association. It's more than just being a pew warmer. She said you have to do something. I want to read a comment we got from Sheila. Sheila says, how do we, the church, define discipleship? I do believe the church preaches the gospel, but it seems that the congregation leaves the message in the walls of the church building. People have become comfortable with their salvation. They may join ministry, but have not made it a way of discipleship. Yes, churches are very concerned with membership growth and have little time for discipleship growth. I believe they confuse community or neighborhood activities with discipleship. We have so many ministries within the church, but we are not prepared for discipleship. Sheila from Detroit, thank you so much for adding that comment. It kind of brings me to one of my final points I want to talk with you on the show, Brad, when it talks about that. Because I can hear someone in the audience say, but look, I'm a part of very different things at our church. Like, I use my church as an example. It's a big church. They have dozens of ministries there. You have the small group ministries. You have the kids ministry. You have the women's ministry. You have the men's ministry. You got, I don't know, there's so many things you can do at the church. And so they feel like I am being active in what I am doing. I am a disciple. I'm not sitting here and just coming to church every Sunday. I'm not just sitting here giving someone a check saying I've done my duty. I am active in the church. So listening to that listener out there, and they're saying, look, I am a disciple of Christ. I do what I can every day by being part of my church, by doing these things in my church. What would you say to that, especially to our men out there who are very active in church doing different things? What would you say to them out there?
I think that there's a difference between attending and between serving. And there are a lot of churches that offer a lot of different programming opportunities. And, yeah, it's easy to get caught up in so many different things at church. And a lot of these are, or all of these really, I mean, they're very good things. And but my question to them would be, are you also getting on your knees and serving the community? Are you also and serving your church? Or is it about attending different things? Because there are countless very good things that we can get wrapped up in that, like when we read about Mary and Martha, we can get so wrapped up in good things but neglect the best thing. And that's easy to do. I mean, that's it's so easy to do. I'm always so convinced that one of Satan's greatest tools is just distraction, just where we get caught up in so many good things, but we're not really making a difference for the kingdom of God, which is what we need to be doing. We don't have a lot of time here. We don't know how much time we have here. We don't know how much time our next door neighbor has. We don't know how much time our coworkers have. And we start life on the path to hell for all eternity. I mean, that's default, right? because we are lost in our sins. We have a sin nature, and it separates us from God. And, I mean, turn on the news, look at our country, look at our political race, and you can see how far we are as a nation in the United States, or just looking around, again, especially the Western world, how far we are as a society from God. And we get wrapped up in angry political rants and supporting our candidates and believing that we can make laws that are going to reflect the morality that we want to see once again in our country. But laws cannot change morality. Discipleship can. Only Jesus can. Our laws reflect who we are as a people in a democratic republic like the United States. And so I feel like it's so easy to get caught up in trying to kind of turn back time, turn back the clock, and say, well, you know, things used to be this way, so I want to vote to make things this way again, while the people have moved on because they are so far from Christ. And sharing the gospel and making disciples are what's going to bring them back. Are there great things to be involved in at the church? Absolutely. And it can be difficult because in a lot of churches, there's some, the exact ratio is going to change, but there's some degree of the 80-20 rule going on if we're talking about serving in the church.
Okay.
Where 20% of the people are doing 80% of the serving, maybe 15 and 85. In most churches, heck, I've never been in a church where it was closer to 75% of the congregation or something like that, doing most of running those programs and those ministries that you were talking about before. And so because so many people are just pew warming or maybe attending those ministries but not getting involved in putting them on, there can be a lot of pressure for those of us who are interested in, you know, genuinely following Christ to overcommit ourselves and get involved with a lot of different ministries or a lot of different programming to the point where we're burning ourselves out, and we think about something like personal discipleship and we say, there's no way I have time for that. But personal discipleship and evangelism are so important, if for no other reason, because Jesus directly commanded us to do them. They're so important that if we are too busy, then we need to cut other things out of our lives. Jesus doesn't command us to have a men's ministry. Now, is a men's ministry a great thing? Yes, absolutely. Does it help people? Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does. But if we are neglecting what he did command to do this other programming, then I think we need to reassess.
Yeah. That's a good point, Brad, because like you say, we get caught up in being busy and we're not doing what Christ actually has us to do. And then especially I can see how it resonates with how Christ created disciples and what he did and how it differs from us. He didn't focus on corporate worship, even though that was important. I would never tell people it's not important to have corporate worship. And corporate worship doesn't mean a big church, but having worship with other believers. I mean, that's what I mean when I mean corporate worship, having a worship getting together, renewing the body. I remember this past Easter, I had ended up missing church because my car broke down. I had no way to get there. And so when I got my car fixed, I ran to church. It was so fulfilling to be renewed by my body, renewed my spirit, everything, because I hurried up, got back in church. But I did have my own personal devotion by myself, which is you don't need to go to church to, you know, celebrate the Christ, the resurrection of Christ. We're not saying that, but just needing that togetherness that other people bring us, that part, totally understand there. But I like how you say It's not about changing things to what they used to be. It's about going forward and making disciples. And so when people get your book, Brad, we got about 10 minutes. When people get your book, Brad, what do they expect to read or get and understand from your book, Making Disciples?
If you've never made disciples before or are apprehensive, not sure how to go about actually personally making disciples, then my book is designed to hopefully give you enough confidence and give you enough direction so that you can start actually doing it. And for people who have been making disciples, I'm hoping that it also provides things, gives them a little greater focus. Because the way that the book is set up is that we identify the five different ways that Jesus made disciples, or the five different aspects of disciple making that he used. That he started with an example. He evaluated his disciples. We see him asking questions like, who do you say that I am? Who do others say that I am? Who do you say that I am? There are many references in the Gospels that tell us that Jesus could read thought, that he was still omniscient. He was omniscient God, that he knew what other people were thinking and what his disciples were thinking, and yet he still asked them questions, I believe, as a model for us. So he evaluated them, and he educated based on what their greatest needs were. He equipped, which I see as probably the most important aspect of discipleship. If we say that educating is to tell and to show how to do something, which can be done in a large room, can be done from a platform or a stage, but equipping is to actually do together. And that's so important. There's a great quote, and I usually don't talk about it because I'm not sure how to pronounce the guy's last name, Oscar Miru or something like that. But he said, never do ministry alone. Which, I mean, if all we take away from about discipleship is just bearing that quote in mind, I think things would change dramatically. But equipping, and then Jesus used experience, like when he sent out the 70, or the 72, when he sent out the 12 and gave them instructions, let them come back and kind of debrief them, talk about how things went, how things could change for next time. So while they're still in that safety of the discipleship relationship, but when they're actually going out and ministering on their own, would be the last step of experience. So we go through each of these five aspects of discipleship in the life of Christ, use examples from the gospel to demonstrate how he used them with the 12. And then after each one of those chapters where we look at it in Jesus' life, we look into how we, in our modern society, which, our culture is pretty different from what Jesus's was, as far as what our days look like and how much time we spend at work or socialization and heck, Facebook. So, then chapter that follows is about how we can apply that aspect of discipleship ourselves. How can we evaluate someone that we're trying to disciple today? How can we equip them? How can we best educate them to supplement what they're already hearing, every Sunday at church? So that's really what the book is. It's just an attempt, in a very casual, straightforward, conversational manner. Most of the reviewers have commented on that, how easy it is to read. I actually got an email from one of my early reviewers, and he's a missionary to a closed country, and he criticized he wasn't enjoying the book, and he asked before the book was published, he said, are you sure you want to go with this tone? And he was just not feeling it. And I said, well, you know, that is the tone. You know, if you have any specific, you know, suggestions where you don't think it works, you know, let me know. And I'll take a look at it. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, I want to be very casual, very conversational. I was stunned when the book released and he gave me a 5-star review because I thought it wouldn't be very, not nice, but I didn't think it would be full of praise, his review. But he said that the further he got into the book and the more he got past the surprise of going from reading mostly more formal, more serious, theological, you know, books, to go to something that the subject is very serious, but we try to do it in a very accessible manner. And he said that he realized that the information within the book itself was spot on, and that he hoped that the conversational manner would be good to help reach a lot of people. So anyway, that's pretty much the book.
You know, Brad, you know, we got about a few minutes left before we have to end our show, and I want to thank you so much for being with us because it really helps to empower me as a disciple of Christ to do better, to become more involved in what it means to be a disciple. And I know it would have affected our listeners as well, basically, that your book is going to have disciples evaluate, educate, equip, and a couple of two more other things that you said, probably edify, and I forgot the fourth one, but all that will help to the fifth one, all that will help to create disciples. And talking about disciples, how the church can change its approach, how we, even though we're involved in church work, we need to be involved in making disciples, and that means getting out there into the world, because that's what Christ did, and using Christ's examples to make disciples. And I hope that has empowered our men on this month for the Men's Empowerment for Parker J. Cole Show. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today. If people want to follow you online, where can they find you?
My blog is Christ Fiction and Video Games topblogspot.com. You can find me, you can look me up and follow my page on Facebook as well.
And then, Brad, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, and we look forward to having you back real soon.
Thank you. I always have a good time, Parker.
And we were talking today to Brad Francis. He's an author and a teacher. And his newest book, Go Make Disciples, is out. You can love him, my brother, and get a copy of that today. I thought it was prudent that we talk about it on the Parker J. Cole Show because we need to be more aware of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and what it means to go and make disciples. It's not just getting people to attend church. It's getting out there in the world and being part of a world that is growing further and further away from God. We need to get out there and make disciples just like Christ did. If you want to know how to do that, get Brad's book today. Go Make Disciples, How Jesus Did It, How We Can Do It. It's very conversational. It's very easy to read, and the information is spot on. Go ahead and get a copy of that today. You can get on Amazon. And go ahead and get some of my brother's other books, The Savvy Demon's Guide to Godly Living, The Book of the Harvest, and then Emma Lyon's Gift. You can get that all today on Amazon.com. Don't forget to join me for The Right Stuff on Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time right here on WPJC. Don't forget to join our newest show, Dovetails with Deborah Lassiter, tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, blessed day, and God bless.